Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, it's that time again, and it is not Alan Nathan, it's Karen Cataline from the stable of fill-in guest hosts. I love being in the stable. It's so much fun. I'm Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser. I do a show called Spouting Off, and I'm going to be doing a little bit of spouting off today, along with a wonderful, stellar lineup of guests on a variety of topics. I like the variety. Why? Because all of these topics are interrelated. They can hardly be looked at in a vacuum. They are related in a myriad of ways with one another. And that doesn't mean you have to agree with any of the commentary that goes on here. I like very much to invite disagreement, dissent, discussion, debate. How come all those things start with a D? It's important. It is the very nature of how our free republic has been created. And I don't have to tell you, because it's a duh moment, that all of those things are under attack right now. And you find it and you see it in the most interesting and supposedly benign ways. I'll give you an example that I just picked up. And it's like, once you watch the permeation, there's a word, infiltration, indoctrination, my goodness, of wokeness and radical leftness, leftism in our media and in everything that used to be protected against the politicization, and now it isn't. Kurt Schlichter wrote a spectacular article. It was much too late at airtime to get him on to talk about it. I love having Kurt Schlichter on. And he wrote an article about normalcy bias and how just about everything, almost everything, has been politicized, including, we know the long list, the laundry list, it's getting longer and longer and longer. The NFL, Target, Woke-a-Cola, Disney, the Oscars, of course, Hollywood, education, the healthcare profession, and wokeism just creates more wokeism and leftism. And they play hardball. They don't allow, they don't want any dissent anywhere. Because why? Because that's really what communism is. It's saying there's only one point of view. It's ours. It's our way or the highway. But here's an example of that, which I got a little, you know, wrapped around the axle about, but I get wrapped around the axle, you know, on a fairly regular basis these days. And that is that a show that I have just loved used to be called Live PD, right? I loved this show. I even tracked down one of the officers years ago now. When I was doing a show elsewhere, and I tracked him down and interviewed him, and he was just so shy and just so wonderful on Live PD. His name was Kevin Lawrence, and he was just a star, man. He was one of the officers. What this show is about, very briefly, and I don't want to get too far down the primrose path here, is that it is live police calls on video, in real time, with maybe a little bit of a delay, to make sure that there isn't anything put on TV that probably should not be, or language or whatever. But for the most part, it's like talk radio for police calls. That's what it is. And what I loved about it and love about it is that it is live, right? with or without the delay. It reminds me of old school talk radio, which we're pretty much doing here, because it's real time. And if you notice the younger generation, they act as their own program directors. And they say, well, I'm going to binge watch this season of thus and such. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to watch this. I know that it aired on Thursday, but I'm going to watch it on Tuesday. And I mean, that was unheard of. I'm old. So that was unheard of not that many years ago, where you actually had to go to the network and find out when something was on. What I love is that the magic of live entertainment, live radio, live television is virtually disappearing. Everything is either virtual or on tape. Okay. So here we are. And right after COVID, Live PD got canceled. It got canceled for some reason that didn't seem logical or reasonable, and I didn't know the particulars, but the station that was carrying Live PD suddenly decided that they had to cancel their most successful show. Does this sound a little like Fox News killing their golden goose of Tucker Carlson? Yeah, because they may, I don't know this, not sure, have gone woke. And you can't have a pro-cop TV show when there are riots in the streets saying that we need to defund the police because all police are racists, which was a false and unfair and smearing narrative of the police. But that's okay because it's where we're going. All right. So 3 years later, I find out 6 months after it began that there is a new incarnation of Live PD called On Patrol Live. It's on a different station. And no, I'm not getting paid to give them any advertisements. They don't need it from me. But it is the same show virtually. They go to different departments and they follow people. And sometimes it's boring, but it usually isn't. And the police calls have gotten much more violent, much more dangerous, because the world has become more dangerous in the years they've been gone. That, again, is all of what I'm doing here is commentary. That is just my observation that that's what we're seeing. And to see what's going on and who's perpetrating the crimes and how the police handle these, they have more patience. In general, they have more patience than I think I would ever have in certain circumstances. They put up with unbelievable things, but I digress. So why am I bringing all this up? Because, well, On Patrol Live is pretty much the same show. What you see is what you get. You watch the cops doing their jobs. If you don't like what they're doing, you know, you don't like it and you watch, but they're not racist. It's not systemic racism. But On Patrol Live has these various regular features. One of them is missing children. Okay. So they do. And it's a very wonderful thing that they have somebody come on and say that so-and-so has been missing and here's what she looks like. And please keep an eye out. We can find this child. Well, all of a sudden there's a feature called Black and Missing. Huh? What do you mean Black and Missing? Is that like driving while black? We have to politicize missing children? The obvious question is, if you find a white or Hispanic or Asian child missing, are you going to ignore it because you're really only concerned with black missing children? I was so nonplussed about this. Of course, I want to see black missing children found and returned to their homes and not being abused and not be harmed in any way. But why do we have to make this a racial thing? Isn't it enough that they're children and they are missing? Must we create segments of victimhood today? It's not enough that somebody is a victim of crime. We have to classify their victimhood based on whether they are a member of a certain victim group. Oh my God, this just frustrated me to no end. one of the reasons I told you I get frustrated easily these days. And that's just something that we want to, I think it's important to point out and pay attention to, because too often conservatives in general just accept certain language and certain things and don't say anything because they don't want to be called a racist. God forbid you should be against a feature called black and missing. You must be a racist. No, you're not a racist. That's why you don't want to divide people into races. Got it? I think you do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our very first guest on The Alan Nathan Show. Don't go away.
For most people, one of the biggest sources of stress comes from their jobs. And one job in particular, IT administrator, carries a lot of stress as they deal with company-threatening events such as server crashes and security breaches. Timed to Mental Health Awareness Month, the Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud teamed up with Alexis Santos of the 10% Happier podcast to provide tips to engage in self-care and avoid burnout. Remember to take breaks. Whether it's listening to a meditation app or taking a short walk, breaks are crucial for maintaining a healthier mental state. Say goodbye to the power-through culture. Recognize employees for their contributions, not their willingness to burn the midnight oil. And remind employees to use company resources such as healthcare benefits, which may provide access to mental health services. JumpCloud and meditation expert Alexis Santos will hold a live event on May 18th to provide more daily strategies you can use to bolster your mental health and refocus and recenter. To learn more, visit jumpcloud.com.
For newly drafted Philadelphia Eagle Keely Ringo, this Mother's Day holds a special meaning. His mother, Tralee Hale, battled breast cancer, and today she's cancer-free. That's why they decided to partner with Hologic, the company behind the Genius 3D mammography exam.
Having been in complete denial, I was absolutely devastated to have received my diagnosis in June of 2020. I had procrastinated going to get a mass checked out because I wasn't 40 years old and cancer doesn't run in my family.
My mom was being treated for this terrible aggressive form of breast cancer. And because of pandemic restrictions, we weren't allowed to be with her while she went through most of it. She's finally cancer free and we are so thankful.
Dr. DeCarla Albright is a leading OBGYN.
Tralee's story is a great reminder that over 90% of breast cancer cases are not hereditary. Even if you have no family history of cancer, go get checked out right away if you find a lump and keep up on your preventative screening.
Visit Genius3DNearMe.com to find a Genius exam in your area.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today. And we are ready for our very first guest, CEO and founder of the Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests. Michael Letts joins us once again here on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Michael. Good to have you on again.
Back with you. It's a great honor.
Well, good, good. We thought for a minute we weren't going to have you, and there you are. That's great. So this is what I was handed, and I hate to do this. I'm going to just come right out of the box and go, what? What I was handed as, you know, what we're going to be talking about. The FBI, I don't always follow what I'm handed, but in this case, I'm looking at it. You know, I mean, really. The FBI's use of uncorroborated intelligence in their investigation of Trump and Russia shows just how incompetent they've become. I want you to talk, Michael Letts, about the uncorroborated intelligence, but do you really think they were incompetent?
It's worse than that.
Okay, good.
This
is deliberate.
Incompetency means, incompetency, Karen, means that I don't understand, okay? There's a big difference between not understanding. And let me tell you protocol and legal procedure, all right? Your listeners really need to hear this. When Karen doesn't like me and says something nasty about me, that's fine. But she hands me something or somebody did to me that's negative, then we have an obligation, okay? We have to pursue it. I mean, you could have written it yourself. I need to know where it came from. I need to know what substantiation goes on. That is just basic law enforcement 101. Now, once I find out that, yes, that's valid, et cetera, then we pursue with an investigation and go deep in further. Here's what happened in this particular situation. The FBI was given information by, we all know where it came from. It came from Hillary Clinton. It came by the Democratic Committee. So it was obviously tainted to begin with, but we'll overlook that point right now. They were given information. They looked at it. They knew that it was false. They knew that it was without substantiation. Yet they proceeded to move forward with opening an investigation, taking it before a FISA court, et cetera, going against every piece of training and every logistical procedure we have in place. That's not negligence. That's not, you know, incompetency.
That's not incompetence at all.
No, that's criminal, Karen. That is criminal. I have made the decision. This is what I want your listeners to know. I have made the decision to ignore the law, break the law. That's a key word. Break the law in order to pursue an agenda and objective. That's a crime.
And it's not as if, Michael Letts, that we have not seen examples of this in a myriad of other ways. It is no longer a, quote, conspiracy theory to say that the FBI and the CIA have been weaponized and are being used for political purposes, which once upon a time, the term for that used to be an obstruction of justice or other. Yeah. But nowadays, we don't call it that anymore. Or the two terms which we heard during the Watergate years for a long time, and this makes Watergate look like romper room, is obstruction of justice and abuse of power. Go ahead.
And that's the key. Obstruction of justice is still very much a term that is used, and that is a correct terminology. Here's what we have, quite frankly. Let's just be very blunt, Karen. We have a Department of Justice that oversees the Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, ATF, IRS, among others, okay? And quite frankly, they are utilizing their position, not just weaponizing it for political purposes, but in the process of weaponizing it, they are actually committing crimes. That's what they don't want you to know. Well, you know, you didn't get your way this time, Karen. We get our way. You get your way next time. No. You are actually breaking the law. when you do things like what we just talked about, when you know that the information is false and you proceed anyway, that's a crime. That's under false pretenses, okay? When you take an investigation that the IRS is looking at with Hunter Biden, and as the attorney general, chief law enforcement officer, say, ah, boys, back off. That's obstruction of justice. That's a crime. That's not just simply a statement. That is a crime. So here's where we're at. When you have your chief law enforcement agencies that are committing crimes, this is the key now. It's not because, well, I want to part my hair to the right and you dock it to the left. It's tough. It's my call. It's not your call. What I want your listeners to understand, they are committing crimes, violating our judicial standards. When you have your top agency doing that, the only thing possible, the next step is we have to convene a military tribunal to hold these people accountable. Because after all, they're at the top of the chain. You tell me where else you're going to go.
I have a pet.
We have two options, Karen. We either have the option of a military tribunal, or we had the same option as 1776, and everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Well, you know what? Two things. First, I have a pet slogan that I use, which is, and I may have used it with you on the air, the arsonists are in charge of the fire brigade. When the arsonists are in charge of the fire brigade, they're not going to hold themselves accountable. Duh. And that brings me to the real question, which everybody is asking. And what really breaks my heart is that as soon as we saw justice delayed and justice denied because the Durham report came out so preposterously late, they can decide who's guilty and who's innocent of a horrific crime and a mass murder shooting. They'll tell you who did it, what it's all about. Of course, they're lying through their teeth, but they can't investigate this in less than 5 years, so nobody will be held accountable. What breaks my heart is that people expect and already know that there will be no accountability for this, none. I'm surprised the report came out at all. But I don't trust Durham. I didn't trust Durham a long time ago to take that long. It was obvious he was delaying it on purpose. That's what it seems to me. What say you?
Well, I think it's very clear that you're exactly correct. Quite frankly, you take the amount of unlimited resources, okay? And, you know, Durham didn't spend nearly as much, obviously, as Mueller did, because Mueller was just having a great old time. But still, he had unlimited resources. He had the ability. We can wrap these investigations up just, you know, in a very expeditious manner. He chose not to. And when you choose not to, a couple factors are in play. Either you're comfortable where you're at, you're paying me very good every day, Karen, and I really don't want this to end, point A. Or point B, somebody's kind of telling me, you know what, you're getting paid, you're eating steak, you might want to slow it down a while, because we don't want to see what you're looking at for a good while.
I apologize. We're going to have to wrap it up here. Tell everybody they can find you and support bulletproof vests for our law enforcement officers.
Go to our website, INVESTUSA.org. All this that we talked about and more is on that website. God bless you, Karen.
Okay.
God bless America.
And thank you for your work, and best of luck to you. Michael Letts, we're going to move right along, talk about something a lot of people are talking about. I'll let you know what that is right after this. Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
National Book Award nominee in theater Sue Geisel, award-winning author Laurel Snyder, writes about a young girl discovering mysterious abilities in the new children's book, The Witch of Woodland. In this magical coming-of-age story rooted in Jewish folklore, Zippy McConnell tries to balance the daily stress of middle school, her looming bat mitzvah, and the fact that she happens to be a witch. Magic is the only thing that makes sense to Zippy, who's been casting spells since she was little. One day, after discovering a strange book in the library, Zippy conjures a beautiful girl named Miriam with wings like an angel. Now Zippy must figure out who Miriam is and where she came from. And when she does, she's hoping the rest of her life will fall into place too. Author Laurel Snyder.
I think a lot of young readers will identify with Zippy. She doesn't always relate well to others and often feels like she doesn't fit in. In Zippy's case, it's the power of magic that gives her the strength to find her true self. Hopefully, this book will help others find their magic as well.
Witch of Woodland is now available wherever books are sold. With more than 20 years as a professional celebrity hairstylist, Takesha Sturdivant Drew is ready to share her tips on how to properly manage textured hair. According to Takesha, shampooing and conditioning textured hair just isn't enough. Detangling hair should be a regular part of your hair care regimen, as textured hair is weakest when wet and more prone to breakage. Takesha recommends using a new hair care product called the Miracle Detangler by Gold Series from Pantene, which is specially designed for women with curly and coily hair. Celebrity stylist Takesha Sturdivant Drew.
Detangling is an important part of your hair care routine, especially for women with curly hair. I recommend Miracle Detangler by Gold Series from Pantene because every bottle is infused with argan oil, which helps detangle and soften curls. It removes knots for easier combing and leaving hair looking healthy and hydrated. When you use Miracle Detangler in the shower, the detangling time gets cut in half so you can get on with your day.
To learn more, visit Pantene.com.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, pushing right along on the Alan Nathan Show here. And our next guest, I hope, can give a definitive answer to something I've asked a lot of guests in the last several months and didn't get a definitive answer. So I'm jazzed to talk to him. His name is Tom Zawistowski. Is that right? Zawistowski. That's it. President of the National We the People Convention, the WTPC organization. He is CEO and founder with his wife, Nanette, of TRZ Communications, a 38-year-old technology company based in Akron, Ohio. Welcome, Tom. Good to have you on the Alan Nathan Show.
Karen, great to be with you. Thanks for giving us some time to talk about this important topic.
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, when it became clear, and now at this juncture, it looks quite clear that Ron DeSantis is going to throw his hat into the ring, a lot of people who did not want to see the divisiveness of that kind of primary, and we could talk about all these deep state Republicans throwing their hat into the ring to give the impression that the Republicans are divided on Trump. I don't believe that personally, but we had fantasies of Trump and DeSantis running on the same ticket. And yet, nobody could give a definitive answer as to whether it's unconstitutional for president and a vice presidential candidate to be from the same state. What say you?
All right, Karen. Well, we're going to make your fantasy into reality today because we're actually taking action in this regard. But let me answer that question.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Right. So yeah. before we got involved with promoting this ticket, unity ticket with President Trump running with DeSantis as his vice president, we checked with the Federal Elections Commission and said, what's the deal on this? And
yes.
There's several answers to it. First of all, most people will not remember that George Bush and Dick Cheney both lived in Texas. Mm-hmm. And Cheney just changed his state of residence, so that he could run on the same ticket. Donald Trump owns properties all over the United States. He could declare tomorrow my residence is, Bedminster, New Jersey, where he has the golf club. And that's it. You're done. You can change it. It's not like when he filed, he got to give it and he can't move. The Federal Elections Commission told us directly he can change anytime he wants.
But Tom, here's the thing I don't understand. Did Cheney and Bush do that so that they would rule out any challenges to the fact that they were from the same state? Or is there actually something on the books, or has it just never been tested that both candidates could?
You were right on. It's
yes.
Never been tested. There are people who say that that's not even constitutional. It's on the books, but it's never been tested. But the good news is it would not be an issue. I mean, I can assure your listeners that that's not an issue. Now,
but
what I can
one of the
you,
candidates would have to change their residence officially. Doesn't it have to be within a year or something of the election?
No, actually, it doesn't. Matter of fact, Alan Keyes went through the same thing when he was running for president a few years back, and he changed his residence like a month before the primary. It can be done. So now,
I want you
to know, and I want your listeners to know that today, right now, the We the People convention purchased a full-page ad in the Miami Herald, one of the biggest newspapers in the United States, that also happens to be President Trump's local newspaper, the Miami Herald. And we bought a first full-page ad, and, of course, DeSantis is in Florida as well, and his people get it. And the message of the ad is a message for President Trump and Governor DeSantis. Your country needs you to not destroy each other over the next 12 months, but to join together to defeat the Democrats in 2024. And we ask people to call the governor, and we ask them to write to President Trump. And your listeners can see this ad right now if they go to wethepeopleconvention.org, wethepeopleconvention.org. Right on the front page, there's a button that says Trump and DeSantis are the winning ticket. When you click that, you can download a PDF of the ad, see it yourself. And in that, we specifically talk to President Trump and to Governor DeSantis and say, this is why you should run together. And we think when your listeners look at that, they'll say, I'm for this, and they will help us by calling them and saying, run together for the good of the country.
Tom, I've got two big questions. I personally love this idea, and I've had people on that have been pushing DeSantis as a presidential candidate. I've kind of given him a hard time because it's hard for me to watch that. But here are the two big questions that I'll bet you get all the time. We are watching Ron DeSantis, who's done some fabulous things in Florida, be bankrolled by deep state money that wants to destroy Trump. That's number one. Number two is election integrity. without even remotely honest elections, you could run, as I've said before, Mother Teresa, Tom Brady, and Lincoln, and Abraham Lincoln all rolled into one, and you will still not win. Please speak to both of those, and I'm sorry we have so little time. We have about 4 minutes.
Okay, Karen, those are great things. So, first of all, in our ad, we address the issue of who's backing DeSantis in Section 2 DeSantis. Says the rhino big money supporters like the Koch, the Murdochs, and the Bushes who want you to attack Trump for the next 12 months hate the people you need to win, hate the policies you've implemented in Florida. They hate America first.
They do. I love it.
They are primarily committed to stopping Trump, not making you president. If Ron DeSantis wants to be president, the fastest way to do it, Karen, is to run with Trump as his vice president. That's the fastest way.
Well, and everybody, the fantasy that we have is not only that it'll be such a smashingly strong ticket, but that Trump only has one more
one more
term. And we would love to see Ron DeSantis do eight after that. That would be our preference. But of course, you know, the radical left that has taken over and is taking over the country has a few things to say about it.
We, the people, have to have something to say about it. And that's why it's important we're having this conversation. First of all, let me just say an important detail. So we did a poll. We had Rasmussen do a national poll. And we said, you know, what's Trump versus Biden? What's DeSantis versus Biden? And you've all seen the polls. It's, you know, usually Trump 47, Biden 43, or, you know, DeSantis 46, Biden 44. Those aren't good enough numbers. So we are the only people through Rasmussen who polled what would a Trump DeSantis ticket do. Well, here's the good news. Trump DeSantis beats Biden Harris 51-43. That's a big deal. It's an 8-point margin, but it's also over 50%. That's critical.
And,
okay.
And okay. Okay.
Now,
let me keep going.
I got some really important stuff that you're going to love.
Please.
I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to your listeners about Project 2025.org. Project2025.org from the Heritage Foundation. Have you said anything to them about it?
No.
Okay. Listen up, folks. You're going to love this. The people who ran Trump's, his personnel department at the end of his term, not the beginning, are now working at Heritage. And this Project2025.org is recruiting 4,100 Americans who are going to run all the agencies in the next conservative administration. They are recruiting right now. They're going to vet them. They have a school that's going to train them how to survive in D.C. when they run these departments. They're doing policy papers about what the energy department's going to do in the next Trump administration. What's the agriculture department going to do? What's the small business administration going to do? So on day one, when Trump DeSantis gets sworn in, the entire government will be staffed with patriots who are going to disassemble the ruling class deep state and reinstitute constitutionally conservative and limited government. That is a big deal.
It's a big deal, Tom Zawistowski. What would be even a bigger deal is if they put that much energy and money behind trying to fight election fraud. I read an article today, and running out of time, I know, KT McFarland, no less, said
She's great.
That the FBI, the CIA, quote, and the DOJ will rig the 2024 presidential election after successfully rigging the 16 and the 20. What say you about that? Is this all for naught, what you're planning here?
Okay, so it's all part of the same plan. And what it is a 12-year plan, not a 2-year or 4-year plan. Here's the bottom line. If we can get DeSantis and Trump to run together, basically the primaries mean nothing because nobody else will matter. They can then spend 18 months defending us against election fraud. They can hire the lawyers and build the machine in those states to stop.
We got to be working on that now, but I love your passion and I love the idea. Tom Zawistowski. Go to WeThePeopleConvention.org. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll have another guest on the Alan Nathan Show. Don't go away. We'll be back on the Main Street Radio Network.
This May is ALS Awareness Month, a time to recognize ALS, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. As this incurable disease progresses, people with ALS lose the ability to speak, swallow, eat, move, and breathe. Diagnosed young, former nurse practitioner Kate Neese is on a mission to share her ALS story and spread awareness of this devastating disease.
On the day Stephen Hawking succumbed to ALS, I started my journey with this disease. Diagnosed at 32, I never imagined living with a disease that I thought only impacted older men. Now I am proud to serve as a mentor for other people living with ALS, especially young women. And I strive to continue advocating and spreading awareness among the ALS community and beyond. If you or a loved one is being treated with Radicava ORS, Edaravone, or Radicava IV, Edaravone, you could help others by sharing your story too.
To learn more about sharing your ALS story, visit shareyouralsstory.com. This message is sponsored by Mitsubishi Tanabe Pharma America. Indication: Radicava and Radicava ORS are indicated for the treatment of ALS. Important safety information. Do not receive Radicava Edaravone or Radicava ORS Edaravone if you are allergic to Edaravone or any of the ingredients in Radicava and Radicava ORS. Before you take Radicava or Radicava ORS, tell your healthcare provider about all your medical conditions, including if you have asthma, are allergic to other medicines, are pregnant, or plan to become pregnant. It is not known if Radicava or Radicava ORS will harm your unborn baby. Are breastfeeding or plan to breastfeed. It is not known if Radicava or Radicava ORS passes into your breast milk. You and your healthcare provider should decide if you will receive Radicava or Radicava ORS or breastfeed. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take, including prescription and over-the-counter medicines, vitamins, and herbal supplements. What are the possible side effects of Radicava and Radicava ORS? Radicava and Radicava ORS may cause serious side effects, including hypersensitivity, allergic reactions, and sulfite allergic reactions. Hypersensitivity reactions have happened in people receiving Radicava or taking Radicava ORS and can happen after your medicine has been given. Radicava and Radicava ORS contain sodium bisulfite, a sulfite that may cause a type of allergic reaction that can be serious and life-threatening. Sodium bisulfite can also cause less severe asthma episodes in certain people. Sulfite sensitivity can happen more often in people who have asthma than in people who do not have asthma. Tell your healthcare provider right away or go to the nearest emergency room if you have any of the following symptoms: hives, swelling of the lips, tongue, or face, fainting, breathing problems, wheezing, trouble swallowing, dizziness, itching, or an asthma attack in people with asthma. Your healthcare provider will monitor you during treatment to watch for signs and symptoms of all the serious side effects and allergic reactions. The most common side effects include bruising, contusion, problems walking, gait disturbance, and headache. These are not all the possible side effects of Radicava or Radicava ORS. Call your doctor for medical advice about side effects. You may report side effects to FDA at 1-800-FDA-1088. You may also report side effects to www.fda.gov/medwatch or Mitsubishi Tanabe Pharma America Incorporated at 1-888-292-0058. For more information, including full prescribing information, please visit www.radicava.com.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And if you'd like to access the archives of the Alan Nathan Show, just go to www.mainstreetradionetwork.com, and there you will find a huge treasure trove of just a veritable history of talk radio there of Alan Nathan shows to choose from. Fun to listen to, I hope, and that's where you get it, www.mainstreetradionetwork.com. Well, our last guest this hour is a doctor, a pro-life Christian obstetrician, vice president and director of medical affairs at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Her name is Dr. Ingrid Skop, and we have her on the line right now. Welcome, Dr. Ingrid Skop, to the program, to the Alan Nathan Show.
Thanks, Karen. I'm happy to be with you.
It is good to have you. So the Supreme Court allowed the continued sale of an abortion pill. And I'm going to guess that you are opposed to this, but tell everybody, because we're all drinking from a fire hose with so much going on today, this story might have been missed by many people.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I'll back up a little bit just to help people understand how we got here. FDA approved the chemical abortion regimen in 2000. It's two drugs. Mifepristone blocks the hormonal support of the embryo, kills him, and then that is followed 24 hours later, generally, by misoprostol that essentially induces labor. And what we do know is that it doesn't always work for women. Approximately 1 out of 20 women will have a failed abortion, will require surgery, often in emergent circumstances. This lawsuit that you referenced, the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, is doctors, Hippocratic doctors, as their name suggests, who have been left picking up the pieces when these women have complications. In many circumstances, they don't go back to the abortion provider. They present to an emergency room or to their private gynecologist in distress. And it has been made that the FDA approved this in a highly politicized process, ideologically driven. They never should have approved this regimen because the regimen is quite dangerous. It's four times more dangerous than a surgical abortion. And so that's where we're starting. Of course, people say, well, you know, we shouldn't get the judiciary involved. But the question becomes, who supervises the FDA? Who provides oversight? If they're not doing their job, if they're allowing American women to be hurt by dangerous drugs, then who is able to come along and say, inappropriate what you're doing? As you mentioned, initially, a judge in Amarillo, Judge Kaczmarek, agreed with the argument and said, yes, this drug should have never been approved. It then went to the Fifth Circuit. At the Fifth Circuit, they said, you know what, it needs a lot more supervision than it's currently getting. And they said it should go back to its initial conditions of approval. And then, of course, it went to the Supreme Court. They didn't really make a decision. I don't think they had time to look at all the evidence. They remanded it back to the Fifth Circuit and said, let that trial commence. Let's see what all of the evidence shows. And that's where we are today.
So can it be taken back to the Supreme Court if there's a decision that, some people disagree with? Is it still possible that the Supremes could take it up?
I have no doubt it will go back to the Supreme Court, because no matter what the decision is, if it limits this drug in any way, The abortion industry is not going to be happy. They want wide open, unsupervised chemical abortion. And if they don't get it, they are going to appeal it to the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court will see it again, but they'll have the opportunity to make a very studied decision. I should mention that in 2021, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, the Biden administration and the FDA removed all of the in-person supervision. So no longer is it even required for a doctor to look a woman in the eye to determine if she's the one who wants an abortion. No longer is it required to do an ultrasound to determine an accurate gestational age. If a woman is incorrect and is further in the pregnancy than she thinks, her risk of failure is far higher. 4 out of 10 women, if they in the second trimester, will have a failed abortion requiring surgery.
Let me just ask a question there. You said an in-person to find out if she's the one who wants the abortion. Are we talking imposing abortion on people and not knowing? You know, if you're having like a surgery on a kneecap, they ask you about 5 times, is this the right knee? Are you sure you're having this surgery? Is it the right knee? And they mark you, right? To be sure they're doing the right thing so they won't get sued. And now you're telling me an abortion can be performed without face-to-face contact. How do they know that the woman really wants the abortion then?
Well, they don't. You're absolutely correct. This procedure, although it's admittedly a medical procedure, but it treats no medical illness. Pregnancy, of course, is not an illness. It does not get to abide by the same rules that other medical procedures do. You're right. There's no informed consent. We don't know how many complications occur after abortion in our country because we have no mandatory collection system. So a woman can't even consent to knowing how likely is it that I'll experience a complication because that data is unknown. Obviously, women should not be submitted to a far lower medical standard than any other medical intervention is subjected to.
Then it becomes a medical issue. You're saying, you know, pregnancy is not a medical issue per se, and I think that's accurate, but then it becomes one. In our just couple minute left, I can't help but ask you this. You do not have to be a pro-life Christian activist to ask, why is it that the same group of people always seem to be on the side of death rather than life? They always go to bat for something that will destroy and harm rather than not. Is that a fair question? And what do you say about that?
Well, I think that it is clear that many in the abortion industry prioritize the death of the unborn human over the health of the mother. If that were not the case, then they would not be widely promoting these chemical abortion pills the way that they are.
Yeah, so that's picketing a very good pregnancy centers. Yeah, and terrorism against pregnancy centers as if pregnancy is something they're against. I don't know. It's still a lot important. Thank you, Ingrid Scott, Dr. Ingrid Scott, for joining us there. We got to run. This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to The Ellen Nathan Show. We'll take a top of the hour break, and we will be back with another hour of the show. Don't go away.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.